listening to Making Data Simple, where we make the world of data effortless, relevant, and yes, even fun.
Hey folks, welcome back to Making Data Simple. This is the podcast where we talk about data, we talk about AI, we talk about machine learning, analytics, unified governance. I could keep going down. We pester the guests, so Deb, you're in for a treat. We dive into personal lives. We talk about beer. We talk about everything, essentially, in the podcast. So be ready, Deb.
I am ready.
Today we have Ms. Deb Jensen, who is Director of Digital Technical Enablement here at IBM. Are you native Chicago?
Close enough, actually. I grew up in Green Bay, so it's a little bit of an enemy to Chicago when it comes to football, because I am a Packer fan and hold season tickets to Lambeau Field. But I don't talk about that too much when I'm in Chicago.
So how your family must have had season tickets for some time then. I thought those were hard to come by.
They are hard to come by, but yeah, we did. We've got them in the family, and you can will them up to cousins. So there's a set of us that have them, and we managed to make the trip from Chicago to Green Bay. So matter of fact,
how long is
the
season that
opener is the Bears against the Packers. So
nice.
How
long does it take
you
to get there?
Yeah, about 4 hour drive. So not too bad.
Yeah, that's not too bad. So are you, your family must be part owner. Isn't that the, isn't it divvied up in terms of ownership?
Actually, my husband and I have a few shares. So yes, it's owned by the people. So that's why it's still Lambeau Field as opposed to some cell phone company field. So the people own the team, which is nice.
Well, welcome to the podcast. I appreciate you being here. And why don't I start by letting you introduce yourself and describe what you do?
Sure. Great. And thank you for having me, by the way. So, it's actually digital technical engagement, just a slight change in that. And the reason I say that is because our goal is to look for opportunities to engage technically and digitally with our users. So being a technology company, our users are technical in nature. So the mission we were put on was find a way where we can build assets to engage these technical users, get them hands-on, get them interactive, have them, you know, along their journey of learning, have them have opportunity to get our hands on our technology and use those in their learning path. So that is our mission. And so we offer this up for free, no strings attached. They can learn all the technologies you mentioned about earlier, data, AI, governance, you know, again, wherever their learning path takes them.
So when I started, did I say enablement? I don't remember. Is that enablement versus engagement?
You did.
So is there digital technical enablement? I mean, it seems like there was a group called enablement, but you make a point of making sure you say engagement. So what's the delineation there?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And there certainly is an element of enablement with what we do because, you know, I mentioned learning and that is a big part of it. But engagement, the reason I prefer that term is because what we build is not us. It's not a one-way communication vehicle. It's a two-way. So the assets that we build allow them to get their hands on, build an MVP. It's very interactive. So that's why I use the term engagement. And really what we've done is the first thing we checked off, I guess, on the box of digital engagement, I almost said enablement, digital engagement.
Yeah, see?
were demos, the ability to come on, no sign in, nobody's going to call you 2 minutes later. And start building demos. But we've just scratched the surface. There's a lot more different types of things we can look at to engage and have two-way conversations and allow our users to be interactive as opposed to, like I say, kind of a one-way communication vehicle, which is typically thought of with enablement.
All right. So I got more questions on that, but I'm going to back up for just a second. just to get to know Miss Deb Jensen. So we already know you're from Chicago. Have you always been in sales? Has that been your primary focus over the last several years?
Actually, no. That's a very good question. I have taken a very windy journey, I guess you could say. So I actually started out as a developer. So I worked at Northwest Airlines, not in Green Bay, but in Minneapolis. So I made myself west, went west, and worked for Northwest. I worked on their aircraft maintenance systems as a developer. So I did that for a number of years, and eventually I became a DBA. And it's kind of a funny story, but one of the software vendors came in to talk to us about their offerings, and they gave a demo. And as they left and the one tech salesperson stayed with me, it was one-on-one, I actually told him, this is absolutely not how people use your tools. So next time you're doing a demo, I think you want to switch your pitch. Well, about 2 weeks later, they called me. And long story short, I made the switch from being kind of on the user side at companies like Northwest, I was at Blue Cross Blue Shield, and made the switch and started working for vendors. When I made that switch, I actually worked on the development team there to build up their product line, and ended up going out in the field and going into tech sales. And I loved it because I love being with customers. I like helping them build out their solutions. And one of the things, I think because of that background, I've also been in product management, by the way, and I always try to give the view of the user. And I still do that today. I always put myself in the shoes of, all right, I'm on the other side of the fence. I'm a user. I'm looking to understand something. Is this going to work or not? So I love that mix of working for a technology company, but interfacing heavily with users.
So... But then you made your way to digital technical engagement where you are now, and you leverage essentially what you've learned in the client vantage point into that role, I presume.
Yeah, yes, definitely. So what we do in this role is really try to think about, from a technical user, what are the things that they need to build a solution to solve their problem? So they're going to start looking, obviously, at solutions like IBM's or our competitors. They're going to be looking at architectures. They're going to have a lot of questions, Q&A. So what can we do to make that smoother for them? Because let's face it, all of us, tend to work even off hours or over the weekend. It's not, as easy as picking up the phone and calling somebody. They want to find these answers digitally. And they want to, like I said earlier, they want to engage. They want to interact. So don't just tell me. I don't want to just read it. I want to try it. I want to understand it. And quite frankly, I want to make sure it's real. So that's what we do.
How did you get to this role? Were you sought out based on your experience, or did you say, hey, no, this is the perfect role for me, and kind of sought it out yourself?
Actually, so I work for Janine Sneed, who I know you know, but she heads up the digital unit within Cloud and Cognitive. And she has a number of missions under her, but myself and the team I had were a kind of a mix of tech sales and enablement. Funny you should have used that word earlier. And so it was kind of the right blend of skill set. So she approached me, and I brought my team along, who, subject matter experts really on all the different areas that we tackle with this team. And it was a great fit. Everyone on the team loves it. It allows them to use their creativity. And again, like I mentioned earlier, be with clients and really build things we think are useful for those technical users.
So if you don't mind, I'd like to dissect digital technical engagement. I'm probably going to say enablement, a number of different times, but we got it. Digital technical engagement. When I think of it, I think of those companies working to drive a digital transformation. But maybe that's from a client perspective. From like a IBM perspective, it's about digital selling. Maybe it's still a digital transformation, but it's digital selling to our clients in a unique, more, one-to-one, I don't know. You tell me, a one-to-one way. I don't know. How would you let's do this. Define success for me. When you do digital technical engagement, to the T to, I mean, you're killing it. What does that look like?
Sure, sure. So if we were to kill it and to a T, I mean, it's almost like a flywheel where the technical user Googles, right? They say, hey, let's use your example of digital transformation, because that might be one of many problems that they're trying to solve, right? So they Google what they're looking to, the problem they're looking to solve. They land on an IBM page. On that IBM page, the use case, because we do drive these use case driven, they find the demo asset that matches to the use case, the problem that they're trying to solve. They go ahead and take the time to walk through that asset, you know, maybe 2-3 hours. They build an MVP. They have an aha moment. Aha, this worked. This did what I needed it to do. And from there, they can actually continue the digital journey. And this is now I'm stretching to Janine's organization as a whole, right? So they can actually procure and purchase the software digitally, and they can be onboarded digitally. So, I mean, we can take them all the way through from a Google search to, you know, we're right at the heart, right in the middle of that, where they learn, they try, and then they can potentially buy digitally and get onboarded digitally. We also have onboarding assets that we've created specifically for customers who are new with an offering and need to kind of get the 101 down. So that's the perfect journey.
So are you measuring then, I mean, is the outcome or the what in this scenario, is it measuring try to buy? Is it measuring try to buy use? Where, I mean, you know, what's your end zone look like?
Yeah, so it's definitely taking people who are curious to serious, right? So it's converting them from I have an interest to now I'm in a buying cycle. So that's, you know, one of the KPIs or measurements that we look at. Another one is actually an internal one as well, which is one of the big purposes of this was reuse. So every time a tech seller does go, whether it's face-to-face or digitally, but does meet with a client, you know, let's not keep reinventing the wheel. Let's figure out like what are the best use case scenarios and let's reuse those so that we can scale as a team as opposed to everybody having to prepare a special demo 3 days before. So there's kind of an internal and an external, you know, success metric that we use.
Curious to serious. I like that one. I'm going to have to reuse that. So going from try to buy, I've often heard that like a 2% conversion rate. Well, you tell me. 2% is pretty strong. 4% would be industry leading. Is that about right or no?
It is about right. And I think part of it too, and this is again where I think, you know, the digital technical engagement team can kind of expand into, there's just because you get through an MVP, there's so many other steps, and that's that technical engagement. What can we do to smooth those steps over? So I mentioned Q&A is a big one. And while we've got chatbots and everybody's got chatbots, a lot of times they don't get into that depth. So that's kind of one of the areas that we're looking at is how can we get those more technical questions answered that are very specific to a client? The next one, of course, is even though they get through an MVP with, you know, what we've provided them, they'll typically want a POC with their own data. So that's another area that we want to look at. And we do provide the environment and some guidance, but there's more we can do there. So if you think about what those technical steps are between try and buy, I don't think we've succeeded at all of them yet. I think there's still more we can grow into from a digital technical team.
My question is what are those steps if you were to lay them out? And while you're thinking of that, I mean, because here the problem I'm seeing with it is, look, it seems like for a digital user, it seems like a long sales cycle. In other words, you said, look, I got to get in use case. And I presume that you're going to give me some kind of jump starter so I can get a use case in there, play with it 2 or 3 hours. I've got like a simple MVP. I'm able to answer questions along the way, even technical questions that'll go direct to expert, to those that really know what they're talking about, not just a, you know, like some kind of first line of defense that's really oriented towards sales. So then I learn, try and buy, and then I convert. somewhere between 2 to 4% to those real deals. Is that, first of all, is that the scenario?
That is a scenario. And then, I, like I said, I think a lot of times customers will want to do a POC as well, right? On their own systems with their own data. And one of the things we've done there to really smooth that out is handle those remotely so that it's not a logistics, you know, let me get my flight set up, let's align times. You know, we can actually handle those remotely or digitally as well. So we're really just trying to make it easier. So you said early, you know, when you started this, is this just seems like a long cycle. It's actually significantly shorter than if all of this was handled face to face and not available over the web.
So, I mean, is this just, I got to get through my head, this is the enterprise digital engagement path that needs to be taken. And while it may seem longer than just downloading an app or otherwise, or buying an app, it's a standard, what would you say, a week is a time frame between try and buy, or is it much longer than that? Because if you're talking a POC thereafter, boy, it could be months. So what's the average length?
Yeah, we're seeing somebody come through saying, you know, I'm interested. On the short end, we're seeing about 2 weeks. So somebody coming in, and remember too that IBM is about enterprise software. So this isn't buying an extra copy of Word or Excel. You know, this is somebody buying an AI piece of software for their business. And on the long end, I'd say 4 to 6 weeks. We did a very large POC remotely with a very large logistics company, and we're able to close that deal in 6 weeks, which is kind of unheard of. So we are absolutely shortening the cycle that it takes. And, you know, from a user's point of view, the big thing for them is it's much more convenient. We can do it on their time schedules. We can do it very quickly. We provide a lot of this over the internet. So they get cycles again on the weekend or at night. You know, this is designed to be self-service.
So how do you know, though, that you're targeting a buyer and not a kid playing around in the garage someplace?
Well, one of the things, and I mentioned this early on, is no signups, no strings attached, right? We want everyone to try our stuff. I don't care if you're the curious or the tire kicker at that point, or you're serious. We let everybody in. And then what we do is we have, you know, schedule a consultation or chat or things like that, so that if people are serious, they can kind of opt in themselves to make it known, and we'll contact them. So instead of it being a push method, it's more of a pull method, right? They can actually indicate when they're ready.
Yeah, but only so, any team, I'm sure your team only has so much bandwidth, and you got to make sure that you're aligning with the folks that you think are serious or potential buyers. Otherwise, look, great. It's great that people are using the product, which we all love. Get that. But you don't want to waste your time on a big POC only to find out that, you know, they had no chance at all. What kind of tactics do you use to make sure if somebody's serious and is going to take the next step?
Yeah. So, you know, the first thing, like I mentioned, is just people doing the demos. That's fine. Do them. We you know, unless they reach out to us, we leave them alone. But once they reach out to us, we'll, you know, answer their questions technically, help them move along. But if they indicate that they are interested in a purchase cycle, then we will get the appropriate sales rep to come in and handle that part of it. Because our team we're not a sales team. So we're not going to put quotes together or negotiate a deal. We're strictly on the tech side. So it's really up to them to indicate when they're at that point. And then we bring in the appropriate teams to help assist. So up until then, we are pretty much self-service. So we're not spending cycles, you know, doing demos or doing things like that. That's all self-service for them. They reach out when they're at a point when they either have a question or are looking to buy some software.
And I know this is enterprise software, as you pointed out, meaning that it's extensive, rich with features, and hence you got to bring in a software rep. Is there ever a case, though, that it's push-button purchasing?
Oh, absolutely.
It's like slide your credit card?
Absolutely. And that's the scenario I talked about earlier, where I said if we look at Janine's org as a whole, right? That's where that kind of that flywheel comes in of Google it, find it, try it, buy it, onboard it. All of that can be done digitally.
Hey, where can those that are listening get more information, whether it, in two forms. One is to try out some of the demos, the what I call playground, sandbox, whatever you want to call it, for some of the products that, across data in AI. And then secondly, where can folks, if LinkedIn, we'll just put LinkedIn in the show notes, but where can folks contact you to get more information?
Sure. Yeah. So the easy answer is ibm.com/demos. And one of the things we're going to be doing there as well is adding like our strategic initiative so people can kind of see where we're going with things. And it goes beyond data and AI. We actually cover cloud and cognitive. So, I mentioned Red Hat OpenShift. There's a number of assets up there. So that's number one. And secondly, I'm on LinkedIn under Deb Jensen. And I'm on Twitter. So yeah, feel free to connect with me. The more the merrier. I love having great discussions with people.
Fantastic. You're not quite done yet. I got to finish up with a lightning round and a would you rather exercise.
I've played that game.
We'll start out with the easy ones in the lightning round. So for you, what are you curious about right now? What drives you? What's of interest, today with Ms. Deb Jensen?
I feel like I'm always trying to learn. I learn something new, and technology, obviously. So that's an area. I brought up augmented reality, quantum computing, Bitcoin, quite frankly, also interests me. So I think that's really fun. But now I'll give you my that's like my A side, not my B side. I love history. I absolutely love history. I just bought a house that was built in 1853, and I just find it fascinating. I love it. So I have like the tech side, and then let me shut that down and hit the B side.
So have you on the B side? Have you researched where who originally lived in the house, how many owners, and where they came from, that kind of stuff?
I just did that, as a matter of fact. I contacted our historical society. I went down there a week ago, and they filled me in on all the owners, and it was actually very interesting. I found out that a judge, as well as the sheriff, so there seems to be a legal thread here, and then the train conductor, all lived in my house.
You better not go snooping around too far in your basement. You never know what you might find there.
Exactly.
I mean, that's amazing, because that's prior to the Civil War. I mean, that's crazy stuff.
It is crazy stuff. And I actually brought in an architect, because there's a couple things. Now, I'm really big on do not modernize it, because I see people who do that. So I want to keep it historically correct. But I have no space. So I brought in an architect just to talk about. And he finds it crazy, the things you can find in our house. Like the front door, you pull this knob, and it's actually a string in the wall that dings a bell in the living room. So just wacky Civil War type things.
That's pretty damn cool, though. I like
it. It is kind of cool.
I could talk more. We could do a whole podcast on that. So what's up for your future? Let's say you accomplish, you kill DTE. Are you what's up next for you? Or is it just enhancing what you've already, done with DTE and the augmented reality?
That's a good question. I always, they always say you should have the 5-year plan. And, in my head, I kind of know the direction I want to go into, but I always look at it too, like the road will lead me where I'm supposed to be. I would have never guessed 3 years ago I would be doing what I'm doing now. So I always am looking for, I like breaking fresh ground. I think I just think that's so fun. It's challenging, but I really, really like doing that, as well as, I know digital OM talks about growth hacking, which is kind of what we're doing in essence. So things like that, but I never want to lose my client-facing responsibilities. I think that's what keeps you fresh. It's what keeps you knowing what's going on in the market. Matter of fact, tonight I'm headed to a meetup after work. So that combination, new technology, growth hacking, and keeping current with clients, is anything in that area, I'm there.
I'm with you on the client space. And I can certainly, the cool thing about you, as I've always known, is you've got a lot of passion around that. And speaking of passions, maybe we've already hit the B side, which is history. Is what do you like to do outside of the workplace? And I presume it's part of it's going to be getting the house into shape, as you mentioned. But what do you do for fun?
Yeah, so, well, that will be one of them. So this house will be a multi-year project. There's no doubt about that. Of course, family. I have four kids, so we visit colleges quite often.
And, sure.
We did just get certified in scuba diving. So once our youngest went off to college, we have a little bit more free time. Well, you think that, right? But then, like I said, you're visiting different colleges, trying to split your time up fairly between everybody. But when we do get that free time, we've really fallen in love with scuba diving. So we're all over the board.
That's cool. My wife, I could tattle on her right now. I went scuba diving and she just had the, what do you call it when you don't have the tank? She couldn't even put her head in the water. So I don't think I'm going to be doing that with my wife, unfortunately.
Well, stick to the snorkeling.
Yeah, this is snorkeling. That's what I meant to say. All right. Would you rather? Here we go through it real quick. You ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Cubs or White Sox?
Cubs.
Why doesn't anybody like the White Sox? That's what I want to know. Nobody picks the White Sox.
I'm not from the South Side. I'm not a South Sider.
But I mean, everybody says the Cubs. Anyway, good, Cubs. All right, they won. You think you guys would make a little bit of a switch, give some love to the White Sox, but I get it. Chicago dog or Chicago deep dish?
Dog.
Really? All right. So let's stick with that. Ketchup or mustard?
Oh, mustard. You get kicked out of Chicago if you choose ketchup.
That was a trick question. I knew I would trick you on that. But I know you've been part of startups. So startups or big business?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
You got to pick it.
I guess I have to go startup. I like agility.
And you realize that you're working for IBM right now.
I know, but you know what? I also feel like I work in a startup within IBM, so.
Good answer. All right, data or AI? I ask this of everyone.
I should be able to pick both, right? I'll say AI. You know what? I'll say AI because AI, in my mind, includes data, so.
All right, let's get
that gives me both.
All right, let's get a couple non-technical ones just to get to know Deb, and then we're off. Would you rather be able to detect any lie you hear or get away with any lie you tell?
I'm going to say detect because I really try not to lie because I feel like that's just
it's bad.
It's going to pay. Yeah. You're going to pay forever by telling a lie. So I try not to.
I'm like you. I think there's always karma that's going to come back and haunt me.
Or I won't remember them. That's the worst thing. My memory is starting to go, so I won't remember them.
The key to lying is you got to stick with it. I'm with you. So, rather be a creative person or a technical person?
Again, I'm going to go technical because I think it includes creative.
All right. Would you rather give up breakfast or give up dinner?
Breakfast. That's an easy one.
Wow. All right.
I do it all the time.
Would you rather check your email first thing every morning or check your social networks?
Email.
Hey, thank you for being on. I greatly appreciate it. You shed some insight into the digital realm of things. I did have Janine on, and we'll put her show in the show notes. And together with you guys collectively, I think you've given us pretty good information on digital technical engagement.
Oh, you got it.
All right.
Great. Thanks, Al.
All right. See you all later. Again, let us know how we're doing. Give us a review or send us information on almartintalksdata@gmail.com. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Making Data Simple podcast, where we make data fun. Be sure to visit ibmbigdatahub.com/podcasts to access the show notes and uncover even more great episodes. Remember, the views expressed here are those of the host and its guests and do not necessarily represent the views of IBM. Until next time, over and out.